Chapter 14. With a second sigh, I slowed the car again. George's eyes snapped open.
What's going on?
Another barricade, I said.
What are we going to do?
I looked into his eyes and I could tell that while the lights were on, there was no one home. Nothing, I said. Go back to sleep. Everything's fine.
Okay,
he said. His eyes closed and he was out. Well, shit, I muttered as I stopped the truck about 100 yards from the barricade. Shaking my head, I got out.
Want me to cover you?
John asked from the bed of the truck. He was on his knees looking over the roof of the cab and he had one of the rifles in his hand. I motioned for him to lower it.
Put that down, I whispered. We don't want to piss these people off or make a bad impression.
But what if...
No, I said, interrupting him. We need to play nicely with these folks. We can't go back unless you want to play chicken with a big truck.
Not really.
Me either.
Also, your dad is kind of out of it. All things considered, I'd like to make nice with these people. We may need a doctor to look at his arm if it gets infected, and they may have one. We're not going to do anything that might make them think poorly of us.
I flipped my pistols onto the driver's seat and walked toward the barricade with my hands up. That's far enough, one of the men said as I got within 10 yards of the barricade. I stopped. There were at least 5 rifles on me. It seemed prudent. You armed? The man asked.
Not at the moment, I replied.
There was a lot of shooting from down the bridge a bit ago, the man noted. Care to tell me what happened?
There was a barricade there, too, I replied. They wanted one of our children to pass. We decided on a different arrangement.
Are they all dead? I shrugged.
All but one, I think. He's got a big semi-truck cab and wanted to run us off the bridge when we killed the rest of his friends. All things considered, I'd rather not go back to face him without some heavier armament than I have.
Damn, one of the other men said. He's the first person to get by them in 5 days.
And he almost killed them all?
We should go finish them off.
So what's your story? The man asked me.
I woke up about a week ago and couldn't remember anything about my past. When I left the building I was in, I got attacked. I killed a bunch of them, but had to run away from the rest. I met up with a family, but the killers showed up again. I killed a bunch more, then we ran from the rest. We've had people try to waylay us several times on the way here, and we've left a lot of them dead behind us.
That's a lot of dead people, the man said. We're not really looking for killers here.
I didn't kill anyone who didn't attack me or my friends first, I replied. We also left one of our own along the way, and I got one more with a bullet wound in his arm from the folks back along the bridge.
What is it you're looking for exactly? The man asked.
We're hoping to use the ferry over to the other side of the bay. The family I'm with is from Pensacola, and I told them I'd help them get there.
How much are they paying you?
Paying me? I asked, my eyebrows knitting.
Nothing. Why? Just curious, the man replied. You seem pretty handy with a gun, and I'm curious why you're with them. You don't seem like someone who would care about children a lot.
He nodded toward our truck. I looked back and could see all 3 kids looking at us. I shrugged. Like I said, I don't know who I am, so one place is as good as another. I'm hoping something will jog my memory as we go.
Anything yet?
Nope. Somehow, it didn't seem wise to tell him the only thing I'd really figured out was that I was probably a psychopath.
There's still time, I guess, he said.
He peered at me intently.
What?
I asked.
I don't know, he said. Now that I look at you, you seem familiar. Do I look familiar to you?
I shook my head.
Can't say you do. Is the ferry running?
I asked as the silence grew uncomfortable.
If so, what's it take to use it?
Yes, the ferry's running, the man said.
It's running on barter, though. Money's pretty useless these days.
I figured. I cocked my head at him.
But I guess you folks want something first to let us through.
You're a pretty smart guy, the man said.
Here's the deal. There are only a few remaining islands of civilization right now, and most of them are literally islands, like Dauphin Island here. The laws still apply here. We have police and most of the services we had before the bombing started. There's only one thing we're missing, and that's gas. We can feed ourselves pretty well as long as we have fuel to run our boats. Unfortunately, that comes from Bayou La Batterie, and we haven't received a shipment since the folks you met moved onto the bridge and started intercepting our fuel shipments. It's getting to the point where we were about to have to do something about them ourselves. But if you've broken up the ring, you've done us a service. If, perhaps, you were to lead a team that finished them off, since you know their disposition, we'd probably let you onto the island. You'd have to work out passage on the ferry yourself, though.
I'm not worried about that, I replied. I think we have some pretty good things to barter. My question is the word probably you used. If I go wipe out the rest of them for you, are you going to let us through?
The man looked at me for a moment and nodded once.
Yeah, he said. We will. And how do I know you'll honor that promise?
I reckon you don't, the man said. He set his rifle on the hood of the car he was behind and came out to join me. I could see he was wearing a police uniform. He held out his hand.
I'm Chief of Police Dan Bradley, he said. My word is my bond. If you can open up the bridge again, I promise to let you onto the island.
I took his hand and shook it.
Fair enough, I said. I don't suppose you have a doctor who could look at my friend's arm, do you? It would be a damn shame to orphan his kids if his wound were to get infected and kill him.
We have a doctor, the chief of police said with a nod. I'll even pay him out of my funds to look at your friend.
You must want that fuel badly, I replied.
We're getting low on food, he said. Happily, it wasn't the tourist season yet, so we don't have all those mouths to feed.
He shrugged.
Still, there were enough snowbirds here that it's hard enough. We're putting them to work as best we can, though.
He nodded toward the barricade, and one of the men bowed.
Rod Jewell, from Ontario, at your service. I may not be able to run a fishing boat, but I can man a barricade and fire a rifle.
The chief of police nodded back to him.
See? He asked. Everyone's doing their part.
He turned to me.
So, Mr., what did you say your name was?
I didn't, I replied.
Like I said, I don't know what it is.
What do the people you're traveling with call you?
I sighed. Fred, but that's not my name.
I thought you said you couldn't remember anything.
It could be Fred then, couldn't it?
I guess it could, I replied.
But I don't think it is.
Well, until we have something better, that'll work for now.
Nice to meet you, Fred.
I sighed again. There are some things you just have to learn to live with in this fallen world.